Thanks Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
Good evening and welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. Rob Pritchard here, and over the next half hour, we'll take a look at the sporting action coming up on the island this weekend on tonight's programme. A trio of league titles were decided during the week in Manx football. Now the quarter-final stages of two competitions take centre stage this weekend. We also hear from the Isle of Man men's national football team manager ahead of his side's first home fixture in nearly 7 years on Saturday. Elsewhere, the curtain will come down on the 2025-26 Isle of Man rugby season tomorrow, with the Manx Plate and Manx Cup finals to be held at Portishee. Elsewhere, hundreds of some of the biggest upcoming talents in British cycling are on Ireland this weekend for an event celebrating an important milestone in 2026. And in cricket, we hear about the Isle of Man men's side and their latest challenge on their travels this weekend. That is all to come this evening. You're listening to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. The time has just gone 31 minutes past six. Hope you've had a wonderful week so far and looking forward to the weekend. Still hoping that that wonderful weather is going to be holding throughout the weekend and going into next week, into the summer beyond, of course. Well, it's a packed programme tonight, and we're going to start by turning our attention to football. Joining us in the studio, as always, is our football correspondent, Tony Meppham. And, Tony, very good evening, first of all. But I suppose what's important to start with is what's happened in midweek, because we've had some significant developments. Because for those who don't know and have missed maybe some of the football developments over the last few days, three of the four senior men's Division League titles have been decided during the week. The first of those was on Tuesday night, where Colby were crowned Ardern and Drugan Limited Division 2 champions. They earned a narrow 1-0 home win against Douglas Royal that evening. That, combined with Moran's 4-3 home defeat to Maloo, means that the Moonlighters will finish top of the Division 2 standings and, of course, be promoted to the Canada Life Men's Premier League next season. Meanwhile, on Wednesday, Ramsey were crowned Canada Life Combination 1 winners without having to kick a ball, because their game was awarded as a walkover to the Northerners, meaning they were awarded 3 points. They only needed 1 point from their remaining two games to take the trophy. Well, that's 3 points, so clearly that ticks the box. The Northerners winning Canada Life Combination 1. And also, earlier today, we found out going into the weekend that Peel have secured back-to-back titles in the Canada Life Men's Premier League. They went into the weekend originally due to face Douglas High School All Boys, knowing that all they needed was 1 point from their remaining two games to take the title. Well, the game has been awarded as an away walkover to Peel by Douglas High School All Boys, meaning Peel successfully defend their title, their 32nd top flight title as well. So congratulations to the Westerners on that one. Meanwhile, the main attention this weekend will be on cup competition once more. The Hospital Cup and Junior Cup dominate much of the schedule. Tony, very quickly, first of all, just a quick mention. Congratulations, I guess, to Colby in Division 2, Ramsey in Canada Life Combination 1, and Peel in the Canada Life Men's Premier Leagues on being crowned champions of their respective divisions.
Yeah, absolutely. And well done to the three teams. Sure, Ramsey and certainly Peel would have liked to have played that game. But let's look at Colby first, just quickly. Is that when you look back not too long ago, Rob, they were struggling for teams and only had sort of one team. And now they're back in with the big boys in the Premier League. So well done to everyone, Josh and the whole team, for getting themselves promoted. Ramsey Combination, we say it every year. It's a trophy that they love to win. It's the Junior Cup as well. They like to have a bash at it as well. So congratulations to everyone at Ramsey. And then Peel, I just think, you know, certainly they've been the better of the teams towards the end of the season. They've been scoring plenty of goals. Thomas Brown's been in fine form. And, you know, well done to everyone at Peel. Now, just to let you know when the trophies are being presented, the Combination 1 will hopefully be presented St Mary's against Ramsey at Bella Fletcher on Sunday. That's the plan, if we can get it together. Then next Saturday, the Division 2 League Championship will be presented to Colby. That's on the 9th. And Peel also will receive their trophy. We're going to switch the game from Laxey midweek so they can accommodate it.
Excellent. Well, let's turn to this weekend's action. We'll start with the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup quarterfinals on Saturday. Three of the four quarterfinals going ahead. One game, Corinthians versus A United, that's been postponed due to player call-ups to the Isle of Man men's national team this weekend. We'll have more on that a little later in the programme. Tony, a quick look at the three fixtures in the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup quarterfinals. Onken versus Braddon. This is being played at Braddon in one of the schedule changes. St George's versus Colby, a All Division 2 encounter. And Rushen United versus St Mary's.
Yeah, let's have a look at Onchan-Firston. This one has been moved to Braddon Purley. We're coming into summer season now, aren't we? So Onchan Stadium is in use and they understand that. But I think, you know, Onchan start off as slight favourites. I think, you know, the boys there know that they've got the firepower up front. When you look at Andy Asprey last week in great form. So, but Will Smith's team have been in good form as well, and Ben Wazza has been a great signing for them towards the end of the season. So I'm going to go with Onchan to win on that one.
And Rushden United versus St Mary's. Rushden United knocking out the new Premier League champions, peeling the previous round up against St Mary's team that have been impressive this season in the top flight.
Yeah, they have. And I think the big problem for Rushden tomorrow is what team they've got, because they've got a few players away off Ireland, which is going to cause them a problem. But home advantage always goes well for them. And you look at their performance last week, I watched them firsthand, and it was good to see the determination is in the squad. But what players are missing, I'm not too sure. I know Mark Blair won't be playing. But certainly St Mary's, they fancy their chances in both, to be fair, Junior Cup and Hospital Cup. And I think Alex Harrison will have his sort of plan on how to get the victory away from Rushden, and I think St Mary's will do it.
And the remaining one between the two Division 2 sides, St George's and the new Division 2 champions, Colby.
Yeah, and you look at the league table in Division 2, there's a bit of a distance between two. But as Carl said last week, it's St George's are playing well. There's a lot of good young players in there, but Colby's experience, and I keep mentioning it, Jordan Edge, he's absolutely flying, and I think he'll be the difference.
And a selection of league games on Saturday, kick off at 2:30 p.m. The Canada Life Men's Premier League, as we mentioned before, Douglas High School Boys versus Peel. It's an away walk over to Peel, which means they are Canada Life Men's Premier League champions. Elsewhere at Billy Goat Park, Foxdale versus St John's United, and Foxdale back-to-back wins, but they need to win again this weekend to avoid relegation.
Well, they do. They've got to just keep winning, and we'll wait and see how Braddon get on with their last game of the season. But certainly they could have done with these performances in the middle of the season and the start of the season. But wishing them well. There's a lot of good players in there at the moment for Foxdale. So John's one or two players missing. I think Foxdale will win.
And just a quick mention for the other games. There are three games in our Dernan Drug Unlimited Division 2 this weekend. Tony, if you could rattle through those.
Yeah, I think when you look at, let's go Moran and Paul Rose first, because when we were looking at the league table a few weeks ago, it was all to Moran to lose, really. Well, they're doing a real problem job at the moment, because they can't buy a win, and against Paul Rose, one of the sides up there in fourth, it's going to be difficult. And current form, I'm going to go with Pulley to win. When I look at Ramsey Youth Centre against Governors Athletic, Ramsey Youth Centre would love to get promoted, but I'm looking at the league table, Castletown and Paul Rose, I think I've got a good chance to push it. The other game, Douglas Royal against Maloo. Current form, Royal are playing well, but I'll go for Maloo.
And very quickly, a doubleheader in our Dernan Drug Unlimited combination two this weekend. 2:30 kickoffs, two games. Paul Rose United versus Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys. Michael United versus Maloo. And that first game, Tony, massive in terms of the top of the table.
It certainly is. And I'm going to go for Paul Rose to win it. Just, you know, Ramsey Youth Centre dropped some points in the week, so I have to go with Pulley. And Michael against Maloo, that's been switched to Maloo now, Rob. I don't know what the problem is with the pitch, but I think Maloo will win that.
Okay, thanks very much, Tony. And on Sunday, Ascot Hotel Junior Cup quarterfinals. Just a quick mention for those, 2 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. St Mary's versus Ramsey, that's being played at Corinthians. Onchan versus Douglas High School All Boys, being played at Blackberry Lane, the home of Douglas High School All Boys. Moran versus Rushden United, and Braddon versus Union Mills. Full details on our website. Turning our attention then away from league action, this weekend sees the Isle of Man men's national side take part in their first home fixture since 2019. The squad will take on Merseyside based club Halewood Apollo in a friendly at the Bowl in Douglas tomorrow, with kickoff scheduled for 5 p.m. The Manx team's manager, Chris Bass Jr., has been speaking with Manx Radio about the long-term ambitions for the Isle of Man men's squad, and also how it feels to be back playing on home territory for the first time in nearly 7 years.
It'll be really nice. It'll be a really good occasion. I'm hoping that we can sort of draw up a decent enough crowd to come and watch the Isle of Man national team. It's been far too long for the national team to be playing on the island. That should never have happened. 7 years. I know we've had friendlies here and there, but something like that should never happen. The Isle of Man national team, especially the men's national team, should be the forefront of Manx football, really. And I think this is an occasion that people, I think, will want to come and get behind and start building this national team up to what it was before. So I'm looking forward to Saturday, really looking forward to it. The opponents are a team we played against last year, so we'll see. I'm sure they'll be different, again with different personnel, but just to bring the Isle of Man national team back to the Isle of Man, and especially playing on the bowl on a Saturday evening, the weather looks like it's going to be good, so I'm hoping we can get some good support down to come and see the lads play.
Generally, how much chance have you had to work with the players since that training squad was announced, and how have things been over the last few weeks with them?
Yeah, the initial squad, the training squad, was to have 36 players. The idea was to have a really good mix of all the best players, younger, more experienced players on the island and the ones that are available to us. It's been challenging, to say the least, I would say, with trying to get our training training sessions to a level that we want, with personnel being unavailable. I know it's a really busy time with midweek fixtures now. We're coming to the light evening, so midweek fixtures are playing a part in the attendances for training. But I have had to remind the players that this is an opportunity you've been given to represent your national team, whether you're from the Isle of Man or not. It's the highest level you're going to get, the highest honour, the highest privilege you're going to get on Manx football. And I really feel like I think there could be a bit more uptake on that from the players. I'm really trying to drill into them that be proud to, you know, to have this opportunity, be proud to play for your national team. It's something that I've always really, really been proud of, really passionate about. So I'm trying to put that to the players, and it has been challenging. It's been a bit stop-start with the unavailability of players for training for different reasons. I understand people have busy lives and busy schedules, but we need to start trying to build up towards ultimately next year's Ireland Games, and then the bigger goal is the Ireland Games in 3 years' time. So we're giving players a really good opportunity, and we're giving lots of players opportunity, which you'll see on Saturday. We've got two really young lads under 18s that have been brought into the Ireland squad, which is I'm looking forward to seeing. It'd be a good opportunity for them and for opportunity for other people, because we've got such a huge amount of talented footballers on the island, whether they're the more experienced players or really young players. And I just really want to give everybody the opportunity, myself, Matty, Rick, Frank, Jay. We've got a really good coaching squad, and we're prepared to put a lot of time and a lot of effort into bringing the national team back to what it was. So if we can get that from the players, I'm sure we'll be looking strong for the future. Most of the conversations around going forwards were based on the FC Isle of Man players, and I've had a lot of comments made about this. And I think with bringing those players in, although I have said to the players, and I fully agree, not all the best players play for FC Isle of Man because of different reasons, family commitments, work commitments. So it was to bring in a really good scutch of those players and to mix them in, get a really good mix of players, because I want those players available. And ultimately, they were really keen to join in the squad. And I just want the best players that are available to the Isle of Man national team to play. A lot of people have come to me and said, oh, you shouldn't be playing for the Isle of Man national team if you're playing for FC Isle of Man. And my question to that would be, well, why not? If they're local players playing for a local club side, you cannot start then discriminating against players because they choose to play for FC Isle of Man. This is the national team. And if they're available and if they're good enough, they'll be selected for it.
Isle of Man men's national team manager Chris Bass Jr. ahead of his team's friendly against Halewood Apollo tomorrow night at the Ball and Douglas kickoff at 5 p.m. Tony just very quickly got around 60 seconds here. Listen to Chris Bass there. He says it's been possibly too long since the Isle of Man men's team had a home fixture, and that shouldn't necessarily be happening. What would you say to that?
Yeah, it was difficult because when Blaine Slattery stepped down and then sort of Chris took over the Ireland Games, it was suddenly thrown on him, so he had to deal with that quickly. And now he's got a little bit more time to get ready for the Ireland Games next year. But certainly the squad is totally different. Whether people agree with it or not, I've got my own reasons. But we wish him well tomorrow evening, and hopefully do the job and get the result.
Excellent, Tony. Thank you very much. Tony will join us on Saturday 11, Saturday Sport Classified tomorrow.
Manx Radio Sport, brought to you by The Printshed. Visit theprintshediom.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
Well, tomorrow the curtain comes down on the 2025-26 Isle of Man rugby season, with an important and busy day taking place in the Manx capital. Saturday marks 2026 Cup Finals Day, with the finals of both the Hartford Holmes Manx Plate and Hartford Holmes Manx Cup headlining the action. All of tomorrow's action will take place at Portishead in Douglas, which also includes two Youth Cup Finals being held in the morning ahead of the senior games. Earlier today, I caught up with our rugby correspondent Dave Christian to find out more. Dave, two senior finals taking place this weekend. We have the Hartford Holmes Manx Plate Final and the Hartford Holmes Manx Cup Final. We'll start with the Manx Plate Final. That'll be the first of those two at 1 p.m. at Portishead. And this is between Ramsey and Vagabonds, two sides who you'd imagine, Dave, will have had ambitions of being in the Manx Cup Final this year. It hasn't turned out that way, but a chance for both of these sides to get silverware this season.
Yeah, indeed. And you're quite right, Rob. Expectations probably within the clubs and probably in the wider rugby community, you'd have figured with the league experience, etc., they'd have done really well. But Douglas Celts and Southern Nomads have sort of pipped them at the post, if you like, and both of them qualified for the final without having to complete all their fixtures. The fact that the two league teams hadn't managed to make it through to the cup finals and raising the question is league rugby really the answer? And it's a difficult question. Both teams have been playing in counties three in the English structure. They've met twice. The first a rather memorable or unmemorable 0-0 draw back in November in the Mirrick Park. It was tricky conditions that day. We can't really read too much into the 0-0 draw. Everybody was freezing cold, including and me to magic up a match report out of a 0-0 draw took some doing, I can tell you. They met again in the second phase of Counties 3. That was up at Bala Fletcher, and Vagabonds won that one 21-10. I think the scoreline was probably not reflective of how close the game was, but Vagas thoroughly deserved everything they got. They played the better of the two sides. The conditions weren't perfect, well, they rarely are at Bala Fletcher, but they weren't as bad as they were down at the Merrick Park in November, so there was a few tries scored, and Vagas really did the job on Ramsey that afternoon. Ramsey will be obviously looking to pick themselves up. They got a bit of a trimming last week by Hoylake in the Cheshire Bowl final. They'll want to bounce back from that and pick up some silverware. They've had to make some changes to the team, though, which isn't always good. They're missing with injuries from last week. Jacob Coutine picked up an ankle injury. Jake Richmond out in the backs, he picked up a shoulder injury. Will Millsop not available in the back line this week, so it's a bit of a shuffle around for everybody. But they do have the bonus of Johnny Mason popping back in for a little guest appearance. Johnny's been playing down in the south of the UK, so he'll be a big bonus for Ramsey coming back in. And of course, there are chopping and changes all around the place. I think Adam Dunlop's going to go into the back row, and Michal Flynn will come back in to start a prop. Rory Nicholson's in there as well, which is always a good sign for the front row. But we'll have all the team news on Saturday live. For Vagabonds, they've got some changes as well, and they're forced with injury or absence. Now, Cam Finley, who's done so well in their back line and kicking goals, Cam Finley has left the island, gone away to pastures new, headed off to Southampton, I think it was. So they'll be missing Cam. They're also missing Joe Lowe from the front row with a elbow shoulder injury that he picked up in the Ramsey game back in February. That's kept him out for the rest of the season. Those two missing isn't going to be that much of a blow for them. The Vagabonds have got some talented players in that back line. Theo Head and Jack Cutts are two classic examples of young players coming through, and they'll be able to do the job. And also in the forwards, Reece D'Oliveira's come in, and him and Matt Rockwell in the front row will be difficult to contend with on the day. And of course, Reece D'Oliveira gets around the park as well. Daniel Bomwick, he's back fit again. He's had a spell out with a groin injury off the top of my head. He's back again fit, and he's worth a place in anybody's team. So it's looking good. It should be a close game. Vagabonds probably going to start as favourites because they've had the better season in the leagues. They've returned more points than Ramsey. They've had more wins than Ramsey, and of course have beaten Ramsey as well. So Vagabonds start as favourites, but this should be a close game for the Manx plate.
And then after that, at 3 o'clock at Portishead is the Manx Cup final. That sees Southern Nomads taking on Douglas Celts and Southern Nomads, as you've already alluded to, Dave, maybe a little bit of a surprise package out of all the teams to be into the final. But in the final, they are on merit up against the Douglas Celts side that have been, well, they've been unstoppable at times throughout the season.
Yeah, in the Hartford Holmes Manx Shield, the two sides have met four times, and it's two each on wins. And Nomads had a surprise loss to West End Vikings in the Shield, which essentially gave the title to Douglas. So Nomads have been there and thereabouts pretty much all season, but occasionally when they've been weak or vulnerable, they've been picked off by somebody else. In the Manx Cup, the two sides haven't met. They were due to play last week, which would have been a dress rehearsal, but nobody was really enthusiastic about playing the game, given that they were playing again this week anyway. And the game didn't really need to be played because they both already qualified. So fair play to both of them. Their big games were beating Ramsey and beating Vagabonds. And when both of them have done that, you've got to take your hat off and say, well done, guys. You deserve your places in the final. Douglas have got a great mix of players. There's some older guys there, the likes of Mark Shortland and Noel Capewell, have been making appearances on the team sheets. But the fringe players from the first team really making the difference, because the first team environment's very competitive. So you've got some really outstanding players who haven't played virtually any games for the first team and are really proving their worth in the Colts. Percy Hampton is the captain. He's having a run there with the Colts, occasionally filling in on the first team bench. He's got Mark Oldfield on the bench. And then there's some experienced players, the likes of Aaron Mason in the front row, and Connor McCocken, who can play second row or back row. These guys have been around the block a few times. They know what they're doing. And when you've got a mixture of some of the younger players coming through and these experienced guys, it really is something to watch. And that's going to be the difficulty for Nomads. Nomads don't necessarily have those players parachuting in from a higher team, so they've got what they've got and they'll do their best with it. Up front, maybe that might be where Douglas could exploit them in the set scrummage. I fancy the Douglas type five, maybe with Rich Bells in there as well, potentially Ralph Clark. They could do some damage to the Nomads set piece, and that'll disrupt Nomads' back line. Nomads' strength comes from the back line. They've got excellent partnership with George Collister and Mark Young at 9 and 10. These guys have been playing scrum off and standoff together for a long number of years, so they really know their stuff. And outside them, the Nomads captain, Finn McGregor, is a hard-charging centre, and the magic really happens outside of McGregor when the Crane brothers, Mikey Crane and Rob Crane, one will be at fullback, one at wing most likely. Those guys getting the ball, that's when they give that X factor, and you never quite know what's going to happen next. The one name that I don't know yet, because I haven't seen a Nomads team sheet, is Tony Quinn. He's their flyer. He's away at university, but if they bring him back for this game, he'll give a very good run of pace out on the wide parts of Portishead's ground. He's very difficult to stop once he gets that space and he turns on his speed. So if he's back playing, it'll be a bit tricky for Douglas to defend out wide, but I suspect the Douglas strength is going to be in their tight five, and the set piece game could be the one that wins the Manx Cup for them this year.
Manx Radio Sport, brought to you by The Printshed. Visit theprintshediom.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
Meanwhile, hundreds of some of the biggest talents in British cycling have descended on the Isle of Man for a major event on the UK's junior cycling calendar. The 2026 Isle of Man Youth Tour is now underway on Ireland and runs until Sunday, with competitors to take on 3 days of closed roads racing around Manx shores. This year also marks 25 years since the tour first started back in 2001. Rob Holden is the tour's technical director and explains how some of the great names of Isle of Man cycling have been among those that have taken part in the series in previous years.
It's always quite interesting when you look back through some of the past results. Mainstream names in terms of Isle of Man sport is the usual suspects: Pete Kenny, Mark Cavendish, Mark Christian, Anna Christian, Lizzie Holden, etc., etc. But in terms of world cycling, it makes interesting reading. And as we tell a lot of the kids who are not always successful at a very young age, go back and look at some of the results that some of the riders that weren't doing as well at the same sort of age and went on to make professional sports people. Yeah, it's quite interesting.
It's always been well attended in the years that it has run the Youth and Junior Tour. What are, I suppose, demand and entry levels looking like this year?
It's pretty good. I mean, got to say, it seems to be across a lot of sports since the pandemic has been a downturn. At its peak in the 25 years, there's been over, I think it's been about 350 entries. We've got about 230 entries this year, with the bulk of them coming from the UK. So it's pretty solid, but it is sadly seen across a lot of sort of grassroots youth sport in any sport since the pandemic, unfortunately. But this is still fairly strong. Its unique selling point is we can put young kids on closed roads with excellent medical cover, great courses, great opportunity to go and show their talent.
How important is it for those riders that they get opportunities for proper closed roads racing, particularly if they're looking to develop and maybe push on in their cycling careers in future?
Yeah, when you ride endurance cycling, road cycling, if you like, they've got to be multi-talented in a lot of areas. They've got to be fast, they've got to be able to climb hills, they've got to be able to go down hills, they've got to sprint. I think this is, for me, looking back at why the Isle of Man has stood the test of time, notwithstanding the amount of volunteers it takes to put on, but in terms of the entries and the people who come over and keep coming over, is its uniqueness compared to what that age category would normally get.
And obviously the riders are a huge part of the Youth and Junior Tour, but 25 years of the event doesn't happen without the people behind the scenes making it all happen. How important have those people been over the years, and how important will they continue to be going into the future?
Well, it's quite simple, isn't it? It doesn't happen without them, does it? It's that simple. And to close a road is quite challenging. It's not just the volunteers. It can be frustrating for the residents as well, but luckily we generally have a good relationship, and closing roads is never easy, but we're a little bit different from motorcycle racing when absolutely no one can travel on the road. We can get people in and out if absolutely necessary, so we have a clerk, of course, and police to help manage that. So it's challenging, but it's doable, and we have a good working relationship, and we've obviously got strong support, the corporate support we get from people you wouldn't, or corporations you wouldn't normally associate with sport in general, but just get involved with a great community event. It's really uplifting, to be honest with you.
That was the 2026 Isle of Man Youth Tour technical director Rob Holden speaking about this year's event, which has just gotten underway this evening. The opening time trial event is happening right now on the Douglas Promenade Walkway. And for more information about road closures for the road races taking place tomorrow and Sunday, head on over to manxradio.com.
Manx Radio Sport,
brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshediom.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
And finally tonight, the Isle of Man Cricket Association is set to play its first international series of the season this weekend. The Isle of Man men's team will take on Guernsey in three T20 fixtures over Saturday and Sunday. 13 players are travelling to the Channel Island, including two competitors who could end up making their national team debuts. Sally Green is a coach for the association and she's been speaking with Darren Timpson.
Great opportunity to get off the island, play what is a very successful country in terms of their rankings. They're ranked 38 in the rankings compared to our 52 last World Cup qualifiers. They got out of their group, so they won their group in Guernsey, so they're a good cricketing side. But that's also, we're looking forward to the challenge of playing them and seeing how we can get on. They're a strong squad. Yeah. They're similar to us in that they have, through their pathway, they've got players coming through, so they've got younger players coming in. One, Harry Johnson, is currently playing alongside Carl in the European under 23 side, and there's Charlie Forshaw, a good tall seamer. They're a strong side with young players and experienced players. I don't know about experience. They're at home, so obviously they'll know their conditions. KG5 is a beautiful ground, very quick outfield, so I'd expect it to be quite high scoring. So it's in terms of our bowlers, in terms of utilising their skills, in terms of restricting runs, but I expect it to be some exciting, challenging cricket, which will prepare us well for August.
And on the batting side as well, what would you be looking to get out of your batters in the weekend?
Ultimately score runs, but in terms of when to be out, when for go for boundaries and when to look to rotate and be smart with their run scoring, choosing smart options. The boundaries might not always be there, so it's rotating strike. But we've got some good, exciting batters that should really complement each other. So yeah, we'll see how they go on.
Obviously, this is the first series of the summer of the season, so be a good test to see how everyone is, I guess, as well.
Absolutely, yeah. First time playing outside. We've only had a couple of sessions outside ourselves. Guernsey have had a few friendlies in inverted commas, against some county opposition, so they're a bit ahead of us in terms of playing outside. But yeah, it'd be great to see how we get on.
Talk us through the squad that's going over.
A few players are missing due to work commitments and university commitments, but we've still got a very strong squad. We're pleased with the squad that's going. Kyle Schneer and George Newton have the potential to make their debut, which is very exciting. They've trained really hard all winter alongside the squad, so it's really good to see them in action, and it's a strong squad. Mm. That's the purpose of having a squad, is that everybody in the squad is capable of playing and showing what they can do, putting themselves in contention for the World Cup qualifiers in August, which will come around very quickly.
Darren speaking to Isle of Man cricket coach Sally Green ahead of the Isle of Man men's team facing Guernsey in a three-match T20 series this Saturday and Sunday in Guernsey. That's all we have time for on Friday Sport Preview this evening. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you to our guests this week. This will be available as a podcast later this evening as well. All that remains to say, have a wonderful Friday and a wonderful weekend as well. Until next time, bye for now.
Manx Radio Sport, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshediom.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.